Okay, so I'm going to talk about applications of the Chebotarev density theorem to elliptic curves, and I'm going to refer many times to this morning's talk. So if you missed it, you have to look on the web and listen to it. And the applications will concern elliptic curves. So I'll give the an introduction on elliptic curves and some basic properties. We fix an elliptic curve E defined over Q, which means that we talk about the locus of an equation of the form y squared equal to x cubed plus ax plus b, where a and b are integers such that the discriminant of this equation is non-zero. And we add a point at infinity. Okay? And this elliptic curve will have an invariant which we call the conductor and which we denote by n. So I assume these things as known. As we saw yesterday in Wintang's talk, we have some nice properties for the group of points of E of Q. So we take the rational points lying on the elliptic curve E and we obtain a finitely generated abelian group, which means that this can be written as isomorphic to the torsion subgroup plus the free part z to some non-negative integer r, which is called the rank of the elliptic curve over Q. The description of this group is completed and was given by Mazur in the 70s. This part is still an open problem and is related to the Birch-Lehn and Dyer conjecture discussed by Wintang yesterday. What you want to focus on today is the reduction of an elliptic curve like this modulo prime p. So let's see if I can do it. This will be hard for me. So we take a prime P, which does not divide the conductor, and we look at the reduction of E modulo P, which we denote by EP. Sometimes I'll just write E. This will be an elliptic curve defined over FP. Again, we have a group structure, EP of FP. And since we have finitely many elements here, we get a finite group. So in this talk, I want to discuss some properties of this group as P varies over primes not dividing the conductor. And I want to recall some properties and introduce some notations. Some of the notation is classical, some other ones you have to some kind of memorize today. So we denote the group, the number of points of E modulo P by P plus 1 minus AP for some integer AP. Then, so maybe I'll use column AP. This is the first notation. Then we know by Hasse that in absolute value, this integer is less than or equal to 2 square root of p, which means that if we look at the polynomial x squared minus apx plus p, this has two complex conjugate roots denoted pi p and pi p bar of absolute value equal to square root of p. Also, so this is another notation, pi p. Okay. Also, it tells us that the field Q of pi p is imaginary quadratic, say, of discriminant capital delta p. Which means that Q of pi p is q of square root of delta p, and the delta p is negative. Okay, it should stay like this. Now I want to define little delta p to be 0 if capital delta p is 0 modulo 4, and 1 if capital delta p is 1 modulo 4. And we define bp to be the unique positive integer such that 4p minus 8p squared is equal to bp squared times delta p. Okay, this is not standard notation. So we have this notation related to the size of the group E of Fp. Now I want to recall the structure of this group. We know that there exist positive integers that we denote dp and ep, such that the group ep of Fp is isomorphic to z modulo dpz plus z modulo dp epz. Okay. So these integers depend on P and E, and they are uniquely determined. Namely, they are given by the following formulas. Dp is equal to the greatest common divisor of Bp and a fraction AP plus BP times little delta P minus 2 divided by 2, and DP is the order of the group E of Fp divided by DP squared, so P plus 1 minus AP divided by DP squared. Okay, this is all the notation that I wanted to introduce. So now I want to discuss questions about the group EP of Fp as P varies over primes of good reduction for E. The first one would be to find the density of the distribution of the primes p such that the integer dp here is equal to a fixed integer d. As a special case, we can take dp to be equal to 1, which means that the group E of Fp is cyclic. Another question would be slightly stronger than this one, or maybe not slightly stronger, right? So we want the distribution of the primes p such that the group is not only cyclic, but it's generated by a fixed point modulo p. So here A is a fixed point on EFQ of infinite order. And of course, we need to know that such a point exists. Another question will be stronger than question 2 and will be related to the distribution of EP. So we want primes P such that the order of the group EP of Fp is prime. Then we also can formulate questions about the distribution of AP, capital delta P, and BP. So we want AP to be equal to a fixed A. We want capital delta P to B equal to a fixed delta, and BP to be equal to a fixed B. So I think these are natural questions that we can formulate about this, the curve EB as we vary P. They are also related to classical questions in number theory. For example, if we consider Artin's primitive root conjecture that Professor Kumamoto discussed this morning, which says to find the density of the prime P such that the group of units of FP is equal to the cyclic group generated by a fixed integer A modulo P. So question two is a direct elliptic curve analog of that conjecture. However, we have to observe that while this group is always cyclic, this group is not always cyclic, so it's only natural to consider question one first. And as was mentioned this morning, this question was first proved by was resolved by Hooley in the 60s under a generalized Riemann hypothesis. And using these ideas of Hooley, we can obtain solutions to these questions. The first one was obtained by Serre in the 70s under GRH. And then further work on this was done by Ram Murthy, Rajiv Gupta, and by myself in my PhD thesis under Ram Murthy. So I'm ACC. Don't mistake it with AHC, which is Artin's country. Okay. Question two can be approached similarly, but the analysis will be more difficult and more sophisticated. And we have an answer to this question given by Ram Murthy and Rajiv Gupta under GRH and in the case of a curve with complex multiplication. So CM stands for complex multiplication. Also, I want to say that question two is was formulated by Lang and Trotter as a conjecture in 1976. Question three is also related to question two, because if we have this condition satisfied, then the condition in two is satisfied for any point A, but it's stronger and it can be seen as an elliptic curve analog of the twin prime conjecture. So we want P and P plus 2 to be primes at the same time. Here we want P and P plus 1 minus AP to be primes at the same time. We know that this is still a very much open problem, but there is a result by Chen, I think in the 50s, 70s. Which says that there are infinitely many primes P such that P plus 2 has at most two prime divisors. An elliptic curve adaptation of Chen's proof will give that in the non-CM case, so an elliptic curve without complex multiplication, there are infinitely many primes P such that the order of E of FP has at most 16 prime divisors. And this was obtained by Kumamoto and Ali Nidri in 2000. It's okay. Now, questions 4 and 5 are somehow related to the question of finding the prime values of the polynomial n squared plus 1, where n is an integer, but the analogy is not straightforward as in the other cases. Both of them are part of conjectures of Lang and Trotter formulated in the 70s, and both of them are open, as was explained say, this morning, right? Question 6 will be related to some kind of a local global principle. Again, the analogy is not straightforward. And I'm going to focus on this question today. And I also touch upon question 5 and question 1. So I want to make some remarks. The first one concerns this observation that question 6 can somehow be viewed as a local global principle. Namely, if we look at the curve EP, which is defined over FP, we want to view it as a curve, constant curve, defined over its own function field. Then we know that in this case, the Bertz-Swinnerton-Dyer conjecture is known. And we know that the Tate-Shafravitch group is finite, and it is equal to BP squared. So since the size of this group measures the failure of a certain local global principle, I can say that we have that kind of analogy. But this is something that I don't understand. So. The second remark is that if we study the question for BP is equal to 1, then we can adapt the proof and have the answer for the general question of BP is equal to B. And then if BC is equal to 1, we see from this formula that BP has to be equal to 1. So the group EFFP is cyclic. Which means that question 6 could be viewed as a refinement of question 1. And so in order to answer question 6, maybe we first have to see how to answer question 1 and then go from there. So let's look at the cyclicity of the group E of FP. This is where we are going to start talking about the Chebotaryov density theorem. So the key observation here is that the group E of FP is cyclic if and only if it does not contain groups of the form ZQ cross ZQ for primes Q different from P. And this can be translated into a Chebotaryov condition, namely that P does not split in the Q division fields of the elliptic curve E for any prime Q different from P, where the division points E square brackets of Q are defined to be points B on E of Q bar, which are killed by Q. And the field Q of E of Q is obtained by joining to the rationals the x and y coordinates of the points here. And about this field, we know that it's a finite Galois extension of Q and ramified outside. Q times the conductor of the elliptic curve. Yeah, thank you. So let's use this lemma. I knew it would be tricky with this blackboard. I wanted to use the third blackboard. Oh. All semester I thought how to use this properly. But I don't know. Okay, so we use this lemma to write the number of times p less than x, such that the group EFP is cyclic, as summation over integers k of the Mirbach function e of k times number of primes p less than x, which splits completely in the k division field of E. Where we used the inclusion-exclusion principle. And now we see that if we can estimate this number, then we have a formula for the cyclicity problem. And since this is a Chebotaev condition, we think right away that we could apply the Chebotaev density theorem. Which says that if L is a finite Galois extension of the rationals, then the number of times p less than x, such that p splits completely in L, is asymptotically equal to 1 divided by the degree of the extension times Li of x, the logarithmic integral. So this is the classical version of the Chebotaev. As we saw this morning, we have an effective version of this obtained by Lagarias and Odlisko in the 70s, which says that the error term in this formula is equal to big O of x to a half times log x plus a quantity involving the field L, log of the discriminant of L, divided by the degree of L, under the assumption of a Riemann hypothesis for the Dedekind zeta function of the field L. Now, we want to apply this version to estimate the number of primes p that split in the k division field. And first, we note that this sum is not over all k, but over k less than 2 square root of x. And then we know that if we sum all these error terms, big O of square root of x over k less than square root of x, we obtain big O of x times something, which is very big compared to the main term that we are looking for. So applying Chebotaev density theorem right away is not the way to do it. And what we have to do is split this sum into two, apply Chebotaev for the first part, and find some other tricks for the second part. We split the sum into two parts, k less than sum y, and k between y and 2 square root of x, where k y is some parameter depending on x, and which has to be chosen at the end, so that the error terms coming from these sums are small enough. So for the first one, we use Chebotaev. The question is, what can we use here? Well, we look at this condition, and we recall that the K division field has a very nice property. Namely, it contains the K, the cyclotomic field Q of zeta K. So if P splits completely here, it means that P splits completely in the cyclotomic field. Thus, P is congruent to 1 modulo K. And so for the primes in this summation, we have that P is congruent to 1 modulo K. Also, by, well, the lemma that I stated before, this condition means that the group EFFP contains a group isomorphic to Z modulo KZ cross Z modulo KZ. So this means that K squared divides the order of the group, which is P plus 1 minus AP. And using these two conditions, we'll be able to estimate this sum. In the end, what we get is, so this will appear in a paper with Ramamurthy. If we assume the Riemann hypothesis, the generalized Riemann hypothesis for the Dedekind zeta functions of the elliptic curve E, we have that the number of primes P less than X, such that the group E of FP is cyclic, is equal to summation over K less than 1, or bigger than 1, the Merbus function E of K divided by the degree of the K division field, times Li of x plus a good error term, which means we have big O of x to some exponent less than 1. In our case, it will be 5 over 6 times some log x factor. The dependence here will be on n. So this is what you get for the cyclicity problem. I want to make some remarks. The first one will concern this Riemann hypothesis assumption. In this kind of description of the ideas involved in the proof, I was not concerned with the Riemann hypothesis. I was fine assuming it, but one could do more work and try to remove it. And we can remove it for the case of an elliptic curve with complex multiplication. I was also not very concerned with this error term. In the CM case, we can get better than this. Okay, so GRH plus errors. A second remark that I want to make is concerns this density. So first, why is this a finite number? Let's call it delta. Delta is finite because we know we have information about these degrees. In the case of a curve without complex multiplication, this degree is kind of like k to the fourth for k large enough, which is a famous result of Serre. So this is the case curve without complex multiplication. In the case of a curve with complex multiplication, this degree is like k squared for any k greater than 2. So this sum here is finite. Also, we can prove that this is positive if and only if there is at least one irrational to division point. And the third remark that I want to make here. this third remark is about the contribution of the prime p for which ap is different from 0 and for which ap is equal to 0. So super singular and ordinary primes. Super singular means ap is equal to 0, ordinary ap different from 0. If we have a curve with complex multiplication, then a result of Deuring says that P is super singular if and only if it is inert in the CM field of the curve. Thus, the number of super singular primes here is quite big. It is asymptotically equal to 1 over 2 times x by log x. And therefore, the contribution in this final density coming from super singular primes will exist. So there will be super singular primes contributing here. In the case of a curve without complex multiplication, the story is different. There are very few supersingular primes, and we have a conjecture of Lang and Trotter saying that the number of supersingular primes is asymptotically equal to a constant depending on E times square root of x by log x. By a result of this conjecture is unknown, but by a result of Lamutti and Noam Elkies, we know that the number of supersingular primes for a non-CM elliptic curve is big O of x to 3 over 4. So little of x by log x, which means that the contribution in the cyclicity density from supersingular primes, there is no contribution actually, right? So these are two differences that occur if we have an elliptic curve with complex multiplication or elliptic curve without complex multiplication. Now I want to go to the BP problem. I think I'll start erasing this. So I said that the BP problem could be viewed as a finer version of the cyclicity problem. So now what we do is to use the same strategy as in the cyclicity problem. Maybe 5. Namely, what we want to do is to translate the condition that BP is equal to 1 into a triple tariff condition. So this would be joint work with Bill Duke. To obtain such a translation, we use a description of the Frobenius in the division fields of the elliptic curve, of an elliptic curve, given by this matrix. AP plus BP times little delta P divided by 2, BP and BP times capital delta P minus little delta P divided by 4. The last entry is AP minus BP little delta P divided by 2. This matrix reduced modulo a prime Q gives us the Frobenius at P in the Q division field. This is the result proven by Duke and Toff in 2001. So using this description, we get our desired lemma. BP is equal to 1 if and only if it is not divisible by primes Q that are different from P. If and only if B does not split completely, in certain subfields that we call JQ of the Q division fields of E, for any prime Q different from P, these subfields are defined to be the fixed field, fixed subfields of the full division field. Subfields fixed by the scalars of the Galois group of this. So this is the desired Chebotaev condition that you wanted, so that our problem resembles the cyclicity problem and the, say, Artin's primitive root problem. Now we can use the inclusion-exclusion principle to write that the number of times P less than X, such that PP is equal to 1, is equal to summation over integers K, the Möbius function mu of K, times times P less than X, which splits in JK. And as before, we can think of using Chebotaev here. So the expected formula should be that this is asymptotically equal to summation over k greater than 1, mu of k divided by the degree of the field jk times li of x. This is what you want to prove. Now, I want to make a remark about this sum. If the curve E is without complex multiplication, then the degree of jk is like k cubed for k large enough. So that sum is finite. However, if the curve is with complex multiplication, then the degree is like k. So there may be some convergence problems. It turns out that there are no convergence problems here, because this will not be the final answer in the CM case, and I want to explain this now. So let's see if we have problems or not. CM case. Is this kind of clear so far? So at the end of the discussion about the cyclicity problem, I said that if we have a curve with complex multiplication, the supersingular primes will contribute to the density. So now what I want to do is to look at this set and distinguish between ordinary primes and supersingular primes. Say we have ordinary primes. This means that AT is different from zero. Since the elliptic curve is with complex multiplication, we get that the discriminant delta P defined there is equal to the discriminant of the CM field of the elliptic curve. Call this field K, and the discriminant, call it delta. So if we want prime P less than X, such that AP is different from zero, and BP is equal to 1. Let's go to the definition of BP. It's given there 4P minus AP squared is equal to BP squared times delta right now. Okay, so we want to count prime P less than X, for which AP is different from zero, and for which we have that P is equal to AP divided by 2 squared minus delta, independent of P, divided by 4. And the trivial estimate for this is square root of x, which says that the contribution for the from the ordinary primes in this situation is goes to the error term. So we have to look at the supersingular prime. This means that we want prime P for which AP is equal to 0. The definition of BP then becomes 4P equal to BP squared times delta P. Now delta depends on P, so it varies with P, but this is okay. Well, from here we get that BP is either 1 or 2, which means that if we want prime P less than X, such that AP is equal to 0, and BP is equal to 1. We want prime P less than X, such that AP is equal to 0, and 2 does not divide BP. This condition that AP is equal to 0, I said before, by doing is the same as the prime P being inert in the CM field of the curve, which we denoted by K. And this condition by this lemma here means that P is also inert in the field J2. So our Chebotarev conditions, okay, please, thank you, yeah. What's the size of J2? Isn't it? Okay. Thank you. So P does not split in J2. Thank you. So we have Chebotarev conditions for two fields, which means that we can apply the Chebotarev the Chebotarev density theorem, even the classical version of that, or an unconditional version, because there would be no problems with adding the two error terms here. So by an unconditional Chebotarev, this will give us a final density of 1 minus 1 divided by the degree of J2 plus 1 divided by the degree of the composite in J2 and K times Li of X. So the error term will be unconditionally X divided by any power of log X. And therefore, this, there is no convergence problem anymore. This is the final density that we get in the CM case, all right? And it comes from the supersingular primes. Now let's see what's happening here. Do we get this? Maybe we get it if we have the curve without complex multiplication. So, question is if we can use any of these two ideas here. The first one was that delta p was equal to the discriminant, a fixed delta for primes of ordinary reduction, and here was that p was inheriting, a supersingular prime was inheriting some fields. Well, both these fail in the case of a non-CM elliptic curve. Say, in this case, we have few supersingular primes, as we said before. So this argument cannot work. Okay. And what about the ordinary primes? So we have the delta p is equal to some fixed delta. Well, the question is no, not at all. We have a conjecture by Lang and Trotter. I don't think I mentioned it. Formulated in the 70s, which says that if we have ordinary primes for a non-CM elliptic curve, and if we fix an imaginary quadratic field L, then the number of primes p less than x, such that the field q of square root of delta p or q of pi p is equal to the field L, is asymptotically equal to a constant depending on E and L times square root of x times log x, which says that as p varies over primes of ordinary reduction, these discriminants vary. So that argument fails. Which means that we cannot use any of these ideas, but we can go back to the inclusion-exclusion formula and proceed as in the cyclicity problem. We had prime p less than x, such that p is equal to 1, is equal to summation over k greater than or equal to 1, with this function mu of k, number of primes p less than x, p splits completely in the field jk. We notice, this is easy to do, that this summation is actually over k less than 2 square root of x. As in the cyclicity problem, we see that we cannot apply Chebotaev right away. We can apply right away, but not for the entire range. So we split the range into two, k less than some parameter y, and k between y and square root of x. Apply conditional Chebotaev here and see what we can do here. In the cyclicity problem, we made use of this important fact. The K division field contains the cyclotomic field, Q of zeta K. Now we don't work with the K division field, but with a JK type field here, which does not contain the cyclotomic field. So the argument used for the cyclicity problem will fail. And what we have to do is to go and look at this from a different angle. So what does this mean? P splits completely in JK. I gave a lemma before, which connected the condition that BP is equal to 1 to this splitting or not splitting completely condition. So we use that lemma again and see that P splits completely in JK means that K squared divides BP. Then we go to the definition of BP and see that this implies that K squared times capital delta P divides 4P minus AP squared. In other words, there is a non-zero positive integer M such that M times delta P times 4P minus AP squared is a square. And the question that we have to answer now is, given a fixed n, how many squares there are in the sequence m times delta p times 4p minus ap squared if p runs over prime less than x. Well, this question is very much related to this statement here, that the fields Q of pi p, or Q of square root of delta p, are equal to a fixed imaginary quadratic field. And an investigation of this question was done using the square sieve, which is kind of square introduced by Heath Brown in the 80s, and which gives upper bounds for the number of squares in a set of positive integers. So we have a theorem obtained in a paper by Ramurti, Etienne Fouvé, and myself about this conjecture. So the core, well, the heart of that paper is this result, the number of prime spheres on X, such that say m times delta p times 4p minus ap squared is equal to a square is less than x to 17 over 18 times log x for an elliptic curve without cm. And under the generalized Riemann hypothesis for the Dedekind zeta function. And this also will give us an upper bound x by 217 over 18 times log x for this quantity. And I should remark that if we use additional hypotheses like Artin's holomorphic conjecture and Artin's holomorphic conjecture plus percolation conjecture, this is what Kumamuti discussed this morning. We can improve this exponent to x to 13 over 14 and x to, I think, 9 over 10 or 11 over 12. 11 over 12. So we can improve this exponent if we use additional hypotheses. But for the BP problem, it doesn't matter. This 17 over 18 is small enough. So now we use this this result in the BP problem to handle this sum. We put things together and we get, I can use this password now. That if we have an elliptic curve without complex multiplication, and if we assume the generalized Riemann hypothesis for the Dedekind zeta functions of the division field, then the number of trains P less than X, such that PP is equal to 1, is equal to summation over integers k less than greater than 1, Möbius function mu of k, divided by the degree of the jk field times li of x, plus an error term big O of x to something less than 1, which is by using 17 over 18, we get 53 by 54 plus epsilon for any epsilon. Something less than 1, where this error term depends on the conductor and epsilon. So this is what you get in the non-CM case, and I said in the CM case, on the no hypothesis, we get one minus one divided by the degree of J2 plus one divided by J2 times the CM field Li of X plus big O of X by log X to any power. Which completes the discussion on the BP problem under GRH for the case of a non-CM elliptic curve. So I will finish my talk.